Good. So, you stand in front of the full-length mirror, naked. Oh, no, I don't, you might say. I would never, ever do that. Why not? Why not? What do you see that troubles you so much? God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. You stand naked in front of the full-length mirror. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, perhaps that's not quite how you'd respond. Because most of us would be thinking, wouldn't we, just look at me. No, don't. Don't look at me. Because I'm horrible. I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm wrinkled. I'm saggy. I'm spotty. I'm lopsided. I'm just horrible. And most of us wish that we could change or modify some part of our body. A smaller nose, broader shoulders, more hair, slimmer tummy, whatever it be. We would all, I think, like to change something. But then some of us have particularly negative views of our bodies, bleak and obsessive thoughts about the way we look. Some of us dislike our body because of past experiences, things that other people have done to our bodies, or things that we ourselves have done with our bodies. Some of us are preoccupied by what other people think of us, constantly comparing ourselves to others. We see beautiful people around us on social media or on the TV, and we beat ourselves up because we're not like them. Or we spend hours and hours trying to make our bodies look like theirs. You know, you've only got to look at the fashions that come and go, haven't you? You see, for example, the young lads who are playing rugby and football. They've got their hair shaved around here and long on top. And you look at the lads around us and it's all the same. But it's okay because hair will grow back and it'll be different next year. But other responses to our bodies are longer lasting and sometimes cause permanent physical or psychological damage. Jane's already mentioned in the prayers there, people who have eating disorders. But then there's obsessive training and exercise, trying to build up the body. Botox, cosmetic surgery, excessive anxiety for the health of ourselves or our loved ones, the hypochondria. It may even be that someone looks in a mirror and sees a male body but feel uncomfortable in that body and inside they feel that they should be a female or vice versa. We'll be thinking more about that in the next few weeks. But when someone's life is so dominated by extreme feelings that something is wrong with their body, they may be diagnosed as having what's being called body dysmorphic disorder. You may have come across that. But on the other hand, hey, we don't think badly about our bodies all the time, do we? Because there are great experiences that we enjoy, and they depend on our bodily senses. The taste and smell of a well-cooked steak, the sight and sound of waves crashing on the shore, the warmth of the sun on our face, or a hug from a loved one. After all, we do need our bodies, don't we? But we need our bodies to live on this planet Earth. And perhaps that itself should stop us being so harsh on them. So, all in all, I reckon we're pretty confused about our bodies. Our thoughts can be difficult to accept, complex, hard to understand, upsetting, and even self-destructive. And I reckon it's true that most people are dissatisfied with how their body looks or feels. And for an awful lot of people, that leads them to being obsessed in one way or another with their body, spending inordinate amounts of time either trying to change it or trying to hide it. Now, the non-Christian world has an awful lot to say about the body. Some of it is wise and really quite helpful, but I think most of it, actually, is unhelpful, misguided, and at times downright damaging. As Christians, we're often unsure about how we should think about our bodies, how we should view them. And as I say, we've not often talked about our bodies in church. Why is that, I wonder? Is it because we're ashamed or embarrassed about it? I mean, even at the beginning, as I used the word naked, I've wondered a lot this week whether I should actually use that word, that image of standing before the mirror. Is that appropriate? We're embarrassed. We're often ashamed about our bodies. So over the next few weeks here on Sunday mornings, we're going to see what God has to say about these bodies that he's given us. How that shapes our own thinking, our beliefs into hopefully realistic, positive, and certainly hope-filled attitudes and actions. So we'll think about life before birth and the status of the fetus. We'll reflect on sickness and aging and death, including end-of-life care and euthanasia. We'll talk about the significance of the Son of God taking on a human body. We'll think about our bodies as temples of God himself in his Holy Spirit. And we'll see what happens when our bodies die and how Christians will be given new resurrection bodies, as we've just sung in that glorious hymn. Now, until I came to prepare this series, and I have to say I've been working on it for a long, long time, though you probably won't realize it. I don't think I'd appreciate just what a huge topic this is. So if you have questions, and in a sense I hope you will have, we will have an open Q&A session at the evening service on February the 6th. And I've left space to add an extra sermon at the end of this series in a few weeks' time for other questions. So if you have questions that are raised, do drop me a note. Drop me a text, an email, or just a handwritten note. Give me a call, and we'll try and deal with some of those later on in the month or into next month. Anyway, let's pause for a moment, because inevitably as we talk about the body, we may well touch on some very personal issues and struggles. So let's just pause for a moment and let's pray. And of course, feel free to be in touch with me if there are issues that you want to talk more about. Let's just pause and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sometimes struggle with our bodies, our attitude towards our bodies, the pains, the aches, the disabilities. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look into your word and try to listen to what you say about why and how you created our bodies, we pray, Father, that you'd help us to have a right attitude, a helpful attitude towards our bodies and the bodies of those around us. And we pray particularly for those who really do struggle deeply and with particular issues. We pray, Father, that you would give them the help that they need to live the life that you would love them to have. So please, would you teach us and help me, Father, as I attempt this topic in these coming weeks. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So where are we going to start? That's probably the longest introduction to a sermon I've ever given. Which probably says something in itself. Where do we start? Well, Genesis 1 is, of course, foundational, isn't it? Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. There is so much. We could do a whole series on what it means to be created in the image of God. But for now, we're focusing on the body. And so let me just say about the image and likeness of God that it means we're different from the animals. It confers incredible dignity and glory and beauty and so much more on us that we are in the image and likeness of God himself. That is extraordinary, isn't it? And while our immediate thought then, as we think about the body, might be, but God doesn't have a body, so how can we be in his image and likeness? Well, remember, the Son of God does have a body. Present tense. He still does. And his body on earth was like yours or mine. And it died and it was buried. But now he has a resurrection body. Recognizable, but somehow different. The same, but different. So Jesus knows what it is to live in a human body. But there's something else here in Genesis 1 that's critically important. God created us male and female. And he does this because it reflects his image. Part of being in the image of God is being male and female. Not one person male and female, but male and female. It reflects his image because he is plural. So let us create man in our image, in our likeness. And so we are plural, male and female. But only together do we fully reflect this critically important aspect of God's image and likeness. And as male and female have distinctive physical characteristics, so the Father is distinctive from the Son. That's not to say, as one popular book was once entitled, Men are from Mars and Women are from Venus. No, we don't originate from different places. We are both from God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So male and female, each glorious in their own way. Each reflecting something of the glory and likeness of God, but only together fully reflective of God's plurality. We'll think more about that in future weeks. But let's move on to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Oh, I've put that up too soon on the PowerPoint, haven't I? The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Most people, I think even most Christians, have the impression that they were first a soul, and then that God somehow made a body for that soul. That the soul is the essence of who we are, and the body is a container or a wrapper for the real person. Popular culture has taken that to their extreme in recent years, and most non-Christians today, certainly most non-Christian younger people, will believe that the real them is inside. It's how they think and how, particularly how they feel about themselves. And how they feel needs then to be reflected in their body so that they are true to themselves. So the body is a temporary container, a Tupperware box, as someone has once said. A Tupperware box for their soul or spirit or real inner person. But that is simply not true. God made physical men and women from physical matter to live in a physical world. And then God breathed life into the man's nostrils. Adam needed a body, a physical body, to live in this physical world that God had made. And then God breathed life, and the two are united together as one living being. The breath needed the body, and the body needed the breath. So you, sitting here this morning, are in the image and likeness of God. You are either male or female. You are body and soul, united as one. You are God's own handiwork. Now, let's go back to the full-length mirror, or the bath, or the shower. You see, you feel your body, male or female, with all its unique lumps and bumps, wrinkles, spots and pimples. What do you think of it? Can you accept with gratitude that this, your body, is God's good gift to you? It's more than a mere container for the real you. You can't separate your soul, your spirit, or the inner you from your body. You are one. Joni Eriksson Tada was paralyzed from the neck down in a diving accident when she was 17. She's now spent 55 years in a wheelchair. And she writes, "When I was on my feet, big, boisterous pleasures provided only fleeting satisfaction. In a wheelchair, satisfaction settles in as I sit under an oak tree on a windy day and delight in the rustle of leaves. The smaller pleasures are rich because, unlike fun on my feet, these things yield patience, endurance, and a spirit of gratitude, all of which fits me further for eternity." You see, Joni, some might say, has every right to be angry with God. But she's not. She's full of gratitude for her life, which is necessarily body and soul, even though her body is broken. And in fact, it is because of her broken body that she has been transformed by gratitude to God. In a sense, it was the fracture of her neck at the tender age of 17 that has brought her to be the person she is now, full of grace, full of wisdom, an astonishing lady. At home, we've been watching the Netflix series Travellers. One or two of you have as well. What happens in Travellers is that when someone dies, their body is taken over and used by a traveller from another time. People who knew that person who had died but was now sort of inhabited by a different person are confused, because this person they thought they knew is now rather different. They have different ideas and different thoughts. They speak the same, they sound the same, but they don't remember what's gone before, and it's all very confusing. Someone has suggested that at least half of the novels and movies around today are based on the idea that the real person resides inside a body, that the body can be changed, discarded, or reused to fit the needs of the inner person or the desires of the inner person. Why have we got to that place? And in some situations, as we'll explore in future weeks, it's really extreme, this idea. Well, I think part of the reason is because of this pretty much universal experience of feeling dissatisfied with our bodies. Most of us do not look like the film stars, and we never will. No matter how much we alter our bodies with tattoos, piercings, Botox, plastic surgery, or even gender reassignment hormones, the body, we will never be entirely satisfied if we're constantly trying to change our bodies and can't accept them as good gifts from God. But if I can accept that I, body and soul as one unity, was carefully handcrafted by God, then I can begin to cherish my body as a very good gift from God. And gratitude leads to new attitudes. Gradually, our body could become something that we're content with, that we're happy with the skin we're in. Now, for some, and some of you here, that has not been, will not be an easy journey. Joni herself speaks of the dark despair of total paralysis that followed her accident. And for some people, that dark despair is an ongoing daily experience from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to bed. And it's hard to change the way we think about our bodies. But it is possible, and it's transformative. And the destination is truly glorious for all of us if we can accept that this body is in the image and likeness of God. It has real dignity, real importance, real significance. And yet at the same time, it is temporary. This body is temporary. And we look forward to a more glorious future where we will have resurrection bodies, which will be kind of the same but kind of different. A body, though, that is perfectly suited to all that God has planned for us. That is true now. Our bodies now are perfectly suited to all that God has planned for us to do. Let's think about that for a moment. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has tasks mapped out for you, and he's given you not only the right mind to fulfill those, but the right body as well. Just the right body. Now, do you know, this can be really hard, kind of. I mean, from the trivial. As you know, I like to try and play the piano a little bit. And I cannot tell you how frustrated I get that I can't play it like Lang Lang or, you know, like the greats, like Jules Holland. Tremendously frustrated. And then I have to remind myself, I will have to remind myself, and I'm thinking this through even as I'm speaking now, I will have to remind myself, hey, this is the body that God has given me. These are the fingers he's given me. And they are good enough. They are perfect for everything he has put in front of me to do. Now, that kind of attitude towards our bodies, you can see, is really life transforming. But for those who struggle with deep-seated problems of things like anorexia, then this is a long journey and maybe a hard one, but one that's worth embarking on, and one that you do not do alone, but we are here for you to walk with you and help you. Well, there we are. some opening sort of thoughts on this series. Let's turn to God and pray. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we are in your image and likeness. Yeah, we're broken, we're damaged, we're younger, older, frail, feeble, but we are still in your image and likeness. Help us, Heavenly Father, to understand what that means in terms of our own dignity and glory, but also in terms of the dignity and glory of other people created in your image. And Father, please help us as a church family to value one another as those who are created in your image. Help us to walk alongside those who struggle. And we pray, Father, that in these coming weeks, months, years, you would bring real healing to any who struggle with eating disorders or just general body image problems. We pray, Father, for wisdom and deep grace for each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen.